Brothers and sisters, peace. These last few sessions, you've been sharing about how to know the will of the Lord. So this time, I will share about, firstly, to know the will of the Lord, we have to be sensitive to the prompting within us. The Lord will speak to us within. Secondly, we shared about the Lord's word, that as you read your Bible reading plan every day, the Lord will speak to us through His Word. Last time I shared many of my personal testimonies, that when I would seek Him, the Lord would speak to me through my Bible reading that day and through my devotionals. So brothers and sisters, it's very important. You need to have a regular Bible reading habit in life. If you don't have this habit, oh, maybe today I'll flip to this section or that section, it'll be hard for you to understand the will of the Lord. The Lord desires, just like we eat regular meals, if someone does that, then their digestive system will be healthy. Same with our spiritual lives. If we keep eating the Lord's word bit by bit, the Bible is so precious. Every day, we should follow a Bible reading plan and read it bit by bit. You've heard many of my personal testimonies, and you'll realize it's as if God truly knows what we will read every day. And so He will guide my heart that when I am seeking Him, I will pray like this. Just like in Philippians, it says that I resolve every resolution in my heart as the Holy Spirit wanting to achieve His will within me. And so when I pray, when I read the Bible, I respond to the work of the Holy Spirit. So brothers and sisters, we need to be diligent and have a habit of having a regular Bible reading plan, not to jump around or to randomly pick a spot. Maybe sometimes you'll read a lot, or sometimes you don't read it at all, or sometimes just read one or two verses. Sometimes you don't eat, sometimes you eat a lot. So similarly, this is not healthy for your spiritual appetite. We need to have a regular Bible reading plan. You'll realize that with God, everything He created is in order. In the morning times, the sun will rise in the east and set in the west. Everything has so much order. The whole universe is in order. Our Lord takes pleasure in us having order in our lives. He will often speak to you through what you're reading in His Word that day. Our third point in understanding the will of the Lord is circumstantial confirmation. Circumstances as confirmation. This means you already have a prompting in your heart, or you already received a word from the Lord in the Bible, and then you ask Him to confirm this through your circumstances. To confirm that the prompting in your heart or the word you receive from God is correct. But circumstance cannot be the main factor in your decision. This is where many people stumble, where they place circumstantial confirmation as the most important factor in your understanding the Lord's will. I remembered Rong Jiao, she shared with us about something. There was a sister. She had a very serious illness that the Lord healed. But for some time, she wanted to sell her house. Suddenly, a circumstance came. She said, oh, it's probably the Lord's will. So she started to research how to sell her house, and she got very busy. She got so busy to the point that on Sundays, she couldn't come to Sunday service. There may be a buyer interested, or there's a good price. She will think this is a circumstantial confirmation. So she got so busy in this process of selling her house. And a few days later, I don't know if she sold her house, but a few days later, she actually died. Rongjiaoshi and the team were very sad on behalf of this sister. At that time, they didn't think this was the Lord's will. But she thought, oh, there's circumstantial confirmation, this is the Lord's will. And so she full-heartedly went forward. So the Lord's will is also for us to never cease meeting together. So we cannot do one thing and disobey another of the Lord's commands or the Lord's will. She got so busy to this point. So we need to be aware and careful and not just blindly follow any circumstantial confirmation. There was a couple. They were in the United States. The husband wanted to go back to Taiwan to work. When he went back to Taiwan, he went to Hsinchu Jiao Tong University. And that university said, oh, we really like you, but we need to discuss further. They said, we need to discuss this further. We may need to take 6 more months until we can notify you about our decision. Later, this brother came back to the United States and he told his wife. His wife was a very pure-hearted sister who loved the Lord wholeheartedly. So she asked the Lord, Lord, do you want us to stay in the U.S. or to go back to Taiwan? So the Lord said to her, you should go back to Taiwan and go to Fengchen, the city of Fengchen. And so she knew that the Lord wanted them to go to Hsinchu. So she told her husband this, what she received from the Lord. What happened was, later, Jiao Tong University didn't notify them of anything even after 6 months. They had initially said, oh, we'll need someone after 6 months. But not too long after, another university, Zhongli, contacted him and said, oh, we want to hire you. So this brother discerned and analyzed the situation, said, oh, Zhongli is pretty good too. And Jiao Da didn't say they would definitely give him a job after 6 months. And Zhongli is a very good university as well. So as he analyzed the situation, the benefits are pretty good, the environment is pretty good. So he said, oh, the other one, I have to wait another 6 months. I'm not even sure if I have the job. This other opportunity seems pretty good. But his wife said, the Lord wants us to go to Hsinchu. But in his mind, he thought, this is good and I can start working right away. So a circumstance came and they were praying and circumstance came. In the end, he settled back in Taiwan and arranged for someone to bring his wife back. He lived in Taipei and wanted to go to Zhongli from Taipei. He had to spend many hours commuting between the two cities. There was lots of bad traffic. In Taipei, the environment is quite polluted as well. The air is polluted. It's very inconvenient. So he went back to the U.S. to bring his wife back with him. When he arrived in the U.S., he received a notification from Hsinchu University that they want to accept him. What should he do? He's already started to work at Zhongli and he had no way out. But now he needs to bring his wife and kids back with him, because in Taiwan, they may not stay there long term, but maybe just a few years. So his kids needed to continue to learn English. But at Zhongli, there was not an environment that could allow his kids to learn both languages. But Hsinchu was right beside Jiao Da University. There was a school, Guoli Shien Middle School. And they had a bilingual department to allow his kids to learn English as well as Chinese. It was especially for those who returned from overseas, professors who lived in the area, they could learn both languages. So he realized, this brother realized that Hsinchu University was actually, the environment was actually better for his kids. So he decided to live in Hsinchu, and then he himself had to go to Zhongli to work. So he still needed to commute between Hsinchu and Zhongli. As I heard these stories, I remembered oftentimes when we seek the Lord's will, unless we take the Lord's will seriously, often we want to use our logic to analyze, but we will miss His wonderful will. We want to analyze, oh, this job, I have a better grasp of this. The other job is kind of uncertain. But someone who has set their heart to obey the Lord, even it doesn't depend on what my mind can analyze, but on what the Lord spoke. His wife often sought the Lord and he spoke to his wife. But when he faced this practical issue of looking for a job, he put what the Lord said to his wife to the side and he just relied on his own analysis with his mind that, oh, this is better. And so for the next few years, it's very inconvenient for him. Originally, what the Lord prepared for them was so good. They can live together as a family there, and education is the best for his kids, and it's a good job, it's convenient. Many aspects. But he chose to rely on his own analysis and logic. It's too bad because he ended up having lots of inconvenience for a few years. So if we are willing to seek the Lord, to understand His will in everything, we can avoid a lot of detours in our lives. Oftentimes the Lord wants us to wait a little bit longer and be patient to see if we're willing to wholeheartedly choose His will, so that the way within our hearts will be more and more wide as well. And they will realize as they do this that the Lord leads them as the best way. So to know the Lord's will, we need to lay down our own logic and analysis. So we say again, circumstance. A lot of people say, oh, this circumstance is like this, so it must be the Lord's will. It's not necessarily the case. Often I say to people, our prompting within us is the most real. Unless you often have issues in your heart is misaligned. We want to look at Psalm 103, verse 7. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. So in English, it says, he made known his ways, W-A-Y-S. And 作为 in Chinese and English is acts, A-C-T-S. The Lord made known his ways to Moses, but the people of Israel only know his acts. If you look at Exodus, the whole history of Israel, the Lord opened the Red Sea for the Israelites and gave them manna. They would be so excited at every miracle He did for them. They would praise Him loudly and dance, very excited. But as soon as they encountered difficulties, they started to complain, oh, where is God? They were not able to know, who is this God whom we worship? Let's look at Psalm 95, verse 9 and 10. When your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work, for 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So So here it says works. But they do not know my ways. They've seen my work, but they do not know my ways. So the Lord says, your ancestors keep testing me and proving me. They are so easy to complain, so easy to forget what I've done. They are testing the Lord. They do not fear him. So he says, your generations put me to the test, though they had seen my work. Oh, the Lord did this or that. But for 40 years, they do not understand his ways. They have not known his ways. This is a people who are lost inside. Verse 11, therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall never enter my rest. You'll realize many Christians are like this too. They can listen to many testimonies, and oh, after they hear hallelujah, hallelujah, but when they themselves encounter difficulties, they easily start to complain. Or if they encounter some difficulties, they'll start to doubt. God, do you have a way to solve this issue? They've heard so many of other people's testimonies, but it's no use to them. They are a lost people. The Lord's words here are very serious. What does he say? He says, I loathe them. I loathe that generation. Isn't God full of love? But to a lost people, he loathes them. That those people who never understand his ways. You'll meet many Christians like this. They've been a Christian for many years. They've heard many sermons, attend many events. But in the end, they do not know the Lord's ways. So they are not able to enter his rest. The Old Testament says they are not able to enter the promised land, enter Canaan. So if one person looks at the Lord's work here and there, or listens to this testimony or that testimony, it's just isolated cases. But they do not come to realize and understand, who is my God? What are his ways like? God is not a God who, oh, as soon as his people ask for something, he will give it to them. If a baby cries and cries, his mother will not always give him exactly what he's crying for. But the Lord wants his people to grow and mature in patience and perseverance. We need to learn perseverance, to endure suffering. That's how a life that has been trained and molded can mature. If I can know my God's ways, it's not that he will give us what we ask for right away. That's not how he works. But often, the Lord will give us what we want much later. Because if we are patient and endure and persevere, then we are completed. A heart that can persevere is a mature heart. The Lord wants to form his nature within us. If we know our God and his ways, then we will have rest. We will enter into his rest. Which means when things do not are not completed, or our prayers are not answered right away. For example, when I was asking God about my personal marriage issue, I asked the Lord for 1 year before he gave me clarity. Some things the Lord does not allow us to understand right away. But through these experiences, we can know our God more and be more connected to our God. So the Lord says, there are people who go astray in their heart. There are only two people who had not gone astray, Caleb and Joshua. So after they entered into Canaan, they changed. The Lord's strong and persevering character was formed within them after 40 years. So when they entered into Canaan, they became more and more like the Lord. This is the Lord's way. It's too easy for him to answer your prayer. Oftentimes he will delay and delay so that our lives can be molded, that we can remove the weak nature and that he can form his strong nature and character within us. So we need to know the ways of God, how he works. To know the Lord's will, we truly need to understand his ways. Let's look at another scripture. Numbers chapter 22, verse 12. God said to Balaam, "You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." And also verses 15 to 17. Once again, Balak sent princes, more in number and more honorable than these. And they came to Balaam and said to him, "Thus says Balak, son of Zippor, let nothing hinder you from coming to me, for I will surely do you great honor, and whatever you say to me, I will do. Come, curse this people for me." And continuing on to verse 20, "But Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, 'Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the command of the Lord my God to do less or more. So you too, please stay here tonight, that I may know what more the Lord will say to me.' And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, 'If the men have come to call you, rise, go with them, but only do what I tell you.'" For Balaam, the first time he went to ask the Lord said, "You cannot go with them and you cannot curse this people because this people is blessed." The Lord already said to him, "This people is blessed. You cannot curse them." But the second time, when Balak brought more princes, more in number and more honorable than the first, and they said, "Balak will give you great honor. Just do whatever I say and curse this people for me." But Balaam answered, "Oh, you'll see the words that Balaam said were very spiritual." He said, "Oh, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the command of the Lord my God." And that night, he asked him to stay with him there. He said, "Oh, I need to see if the Lord will speak anything else to me." So look at Balaam. He did not know our God had already spoken to him. "This is a blessed people. You cannot curse them." Do you think if you ask the Lord again, he will say, "Oh, you can curse this people"? The Lord does not work like that. But man's heart, because Balaam was not willing to give up so much silver and gold. So even though the words he spoke was that, "Oh, I cannot go beyond the command of the Lord to do less or more. Even if you give me silver and gold, I need to ask the Lord and everything." That's what he said in his mouth. But in his heart, his desire was for the Lord to say, "Okay, go with them. You can start and curse this people so that he can earn lots of money." There are many Christians who are like this. Many Christians who are like this. In the end, in verse 21, "So Balaam rose in the morning and saddled with his donkey and went with the princes of Moab." So in verse 22, it says, "But God's anger was kindled because he went." In verse 20, God said to him, "Okay, if the men have come to call you, rise, go with them, but only do what I tell you." But in verse 22, "Because he went, the Lord's anger was kindled." It's as if the Lord said something different, but we need to know the Lord's ways. The Lord was testing him. The Lord had already told him, "Do not go." But he still came to ask the Lord. So the Lord said, "Okay, if they come and call you again, you can go." And so he actually went. In Taiwanese, you say, "Come, come." Which means, "I don't know the heights of the heavens nor the depths of the earth." And many Christians are like this. We don't understand the Lord's ways, so with everything we ask the Lord, but we still hope that he will fulfill the desire of my heart. So later, the Lord sent an angel 3 times to kill him. But I actually think it would be easy for this angel to kill him. Is the donkey so strong that he can just go to the side a bit so that the angel doesn't kill Balaam? I think the Lord just wanted to scare him a bit so that he will obey. Because he knows Balaam is not a very obedient person. Many Christians will pray with their mouths, "Oh Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to obey you," on their mouths. They seem close to him, but in their hearts, they are greedy for money. In their hearts, they are far from the Lord. Many Christians are like this. They know how to say a lot of spiritual things, but in their hearts, their own lust and what they covet is most important. And their hearts are so dissatisfied, even though their speech is so spiritual. But the Lord is smart. We can't run away from him. I also feel, why is the Lord so strict? He doesn't allow him to curse him at all. We need to learn what we say with our mouths is very important. The Lord didn't allow Balaam to curse his people even a little bit. So 3 times he scared him so that he was certain that he would obey what he says. So this time, Balaam truly, fully did as the Lord told him. After he did this, we'll look at chapter 24. Balak was not very happy. I want to bless you, but you don't listen to me. In chapter 24, it says Israelites lived there and the people began to war with the daughters of Moab, and they invited the people to the sacrifice of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So let's look at Numbers 31, verse 16. Behold, these on Balaam's advice caused the people of Israel to act treacherously against the Lord in the incident of Peor, and so the plague came among the congregation of the Lord. You see, in the Bible, it is so clear about who this person Balaam is. Even though he said, even if you give me a whole room full of silver and gold, I will not disobey the command of the Lord. With his mouth, it sounds like he fully obeys the Lord, but in his heart, he is greedy for the silver and gold. So the Lord was so strict with him that through his angel would give him a scare to let him know, you need to obey my word, otherwise I would kill you. So in the end, he obeyed the Lord's word, but he still wasn't willing to let go of the silver and gold. So he taught Balak how to cause the Israelites to sin through the relationships with the Moabite women and idol worship. And so in chapter 31, verse 8, it says that the Israelites killed Balaam with the sword. Brothers and sisters, this shows us maybe we had the gift of prophecy or the gift of deliverance and healing, but if our hearts are not aligned and are not upright in our hearts, what do I mean by that? It means that aside from God, we have some little things we're greedy for or lusts within us in our hearts. Things that satisfy us in our hearts. We think, oh, I can touch a little bit of God and just go with it. God is not like that. We truly need to fear the Lord. He was greedy for the silver and gold. So in the New Testament, it describes Balaam as someone who was greedy for unrighteous wages. Even though he can obey the Lord and prophesy over people and bless them, at the same time, he can be corrupt And at the time, Israel was very easy to commit adultery and to bow down to idols. In the Lord's eyes, this people are loved by the Lord, blessed by the Lord. But when they were attracted by the Moabite women, they ended up destroying themselves. As Christians, we need to be careful. We need to know the Lord's will. Some of us will say, oh, the most important thing to knowing the Lord's will is my prompting inside. For example, some people, if they're called to full-time ministry, such as Pastor Chen, not too long after knowing the Lord, they feel called to full-time ministry. And they didn't receive a particular verse from the Lord calling them to serve the Lord full-time. Even though he didn't have a verse, he never complained about this calling after, because the prompting inside is the most important. Even though you don't have any word from the Bible, but I can agree with this prompting inside, this is from the Lord. Or some people tell me, oh, I have a prompting inside and I have a word from the Lord, this verse, that verse, and I have a circumstantial confirmation, but I can tell if they don't have an amen in their heart. It's like Balaam, you can speak many spiritual things, but in your heart, you'll be unable to discern. This is just like Balaam. Maybe we can say many spiritual things, but inside we can smell it and we can discern. So why do I say, even though the most important measure is our prompting inside, but some people will seek the Lord incorrectly. Why? Because in our hearts we are not pure-hearted in our desire to fully surrender to and obey the Lord. There are many other factors, other buts. In those circumstances, I will not obey the Lord. So for these people, their paths are crooked and they do not fully understand what the Lord's will is, because they cannot see clearly what the Lord's will is. So every time they need to ask again, why is the Lord's will like this or that? In Psalm, it says, those who are evil, the Lord will lead them on crooked paths. Which means they are not people of integrity and wholeheartedly wanting to obey the Lord. Their paths will be crooked. And this is a people who has gone astray. Actually, the Lord is righteous in his ways. His will is clear. If you are sincere with him, you can understand clearly his ways, but it's because sometimes we go astray. That's why our paths feel very crooked. When I share all of this, when we want to understand the Lord's will, sometimes we want to approach it like a formula. Oh, didn't you say, oh, I have a prompting in my heart, I have God's word, I have a circumstantial confirmation, then it is the Lord's will. I need to tell you, yes, that's correct, but when you encounter difficulties, you will just give up. Why? Because you know whether or not you are truly obeying the Lord in your heart. Regarding understanding the Lord's will, we truly need to know, who is my God? Who is he like? So when I have a prompting inside, this will not contradict his nature or his Bible. For example, there's a pastor. There was a sister in his church. Her husband had passed away. So she would often communicate with this pastor about some things that she and her husband experienced in the past, some quite intimate things. Sisters, as well as brothers, you need to be sensitive and aware and careful about these things. don't communicate with the opposite sex about some deep things in your heart. Why? Because if you share it too many times, then two people, you will start cultivating an incorrect relationship. If you share too much and the other party will enter into your emotions and feel sympathetic to you, that pastor, gradually, he felt, oh, this is a really good sister. She loves the Lord and she can help my ministry. So he felt, oh, his own wife was not able to help him in his ministry in many ways. But he felt this other sister was able to help him. So he sought the Lord. Is it your will for me to marry this other sister to help my ministry? As he sought the Lord, he felt a prompting inside that this is a special case. You can marry her. You don't need to seek the Lord about this because in the Bible it says, do not covet another man's wife. The Lord says to love the wife of your youth. This is very obvious. You don't even need to seek the Lord about this. But the more you communicate about these deep things, the more you feel like your hearts and your spirits are connected. And I feel less connected with my own wife. And so I seek the Lord. Oh, I feel like this is a special case. And so you know what happened next. What happened was, so he fell and he had to leave his ministry. Brothers and sisters, we need to constantly pray, Lord, create in me a pure and clean heart that there would be righteousness within me. We need to be honest and pure-hearted in our obedience to the Lord, that all of the promptings within us, if it contradicts what the Bible says, what the Lord has commanded, God is pure and holy. So if a prompting inside tells you to do something that does not align with his word or his will, even though this prompting is very strong, this is not from the Lord, this is your own personal desire. He is a holy God. He is a consuming fire. He hates sin. He is light. So everything that has to do with darkness, he will not want you to do that. We truly must be smarter and not be tricked by the enemy. Many are tricked by the enemy because they are thinking of their own lusts and desires. But in many things, when we seek the Lord, I've served the Lord for 17, almost 18 years. Why do some people have so many crooked ways? It's because as humans, we often value more our own lusts and desires over valuing the Lord's commands and his word. We love ourselves more than we fear the Lord. We respect people more than we respect the Lord. These are all causes. So today my burden is to share, to know the Lord's will. We must know his ways. This is a principle, a broad principle. If we do not grasp onto this, but we focus on the little details. When you're seeking the Lord's will, then you will not know his ways more. If you ask him about this little thing or that little thing, but it's entangled with your own personal desires, then even in your seeking the Lord, you're unable to know the Lord and his ways. That in many things, when I seek the Lord, I will learn, oh, wow, God, this is the God you are, and go deeper in my understanding of who my God is. The Lord wants us to seek his will because he takes delight in speaking to us. He says his sheep know his voice. So between the Lord and people, there's only one Only one mediator. There is a pastor, he enjoyed intentionally making some exaggerations or using his charisma to make people think that he's very effective. So people ask him, oh, can you ask the Lord, oh, should I change jobs or should I continue my PhD? The Lord gave us a new covenant. It means none of you need to ask your neighbor. Each one of you can know me from the biggest to the smallest. Every child can know God. Do you believe many little children? You need to teach your kids at a young age to ask the Lord about everything. There's one father. His kids asked him, oh, Daddy, can I go see such and such movie? He doesn't want his kids to think, oh, watching movies is bad. So he said, oh, go ask Jesus. Go ask the Lord. Can you go watch this movie? So his child really went upstairs, knelt down and prayed. Afterwards, he came down and said, Daddy, I won't go watch this movie because Jesus does not want me to watch this movie. Kids can understand the Lord's will, so don't try and be the mediator for them. There was a pastor. He told me, this brother who attended his church, and this brother told me when he first went to this church, the pastor said to him, you have a purple halo on your head. And then he walked away. This brother thought, oh, I have a halo on my head. So the brother who invited him there, he asked him, what does it mean? These words the pastor said. And then he said, oh, go ask my pastor. He can interpret it for you. He can interpret dreams and visions. Go ask him. So this brother went to ask this pastor, you just said I have a halo on my head. What does this mean? The pastor told him, this means king, that the Lord will use you greatly. So this brother stayed there in that church and he was used and used greatly. But later he realized many strange things. I won't share the details, but this brother left this church. He shared many things. He shared about things, about money and other things. But many people still attended this church. Why? Because they like to ask the pastor about everything. Oh, pastor, should I invest in this business? The pastor says yes. And this year, your business will triple. And so their business really would triple. They thought, oh, wow, this is so effective. So I heard this. And I thought, oh, if the Lord told you your business will triple, then what is the significance? How have you grown spiritually? How have you grown in your knowledge of the Lord? But these people don't understand, especially in these end times, you need to be careful about one thing. People love the miraculous and the extraordinary. Such as Song Qiling, someone in Taiwan who led many astray, say, oh, come to the front and donate millions of dollars. And so some people will say, oh, in the photo, it looks like there's a halo on their head. Even the photographer said, oh, that's a technique we use in photography. But people still believe in these things. In our age, people do not love the truth, but they love these things that are fake. Even without the prophecies, you will still continue this business. So how does this prophetic word change you? How does it grow you and mature you? The Lord has a purpose to what he speaks and what he does. It should cause us to fear him more and love him more or become more humble What does a prophecy benefit you? So we need to be careful and not worship the extraordinary. The Lord is our God. I thank the Lord that Rong Jiao Shi did not lead us to himself. I never worshipped him. I didn't worship him one bit, but I just love and honor him. That's it. But I never worshipped him, and I never depended on him. Why? Because anything you ask him, he will tell you. The Lord delights in speaking to you. You go ask him. So every day I ask the Lord myself. I never go and ask Rong Jiao Shi. Oh, please seek the Lord for me. Should I serve the Lord full time? Should I do this or that? Should I marry this person? I don't ask him. I seek the Lord myself. So I know my God is so real. He leads me on my path. He guides me until eternity. You need to learn to understand the Lord's will yourself and ask him. The Lord delights in speaking to you and telling you his will. Don't rely on others. Oh, I heard a very effective prophet is in town. You go line up to get prayed for. This is just like in other religions like Buddhism or fortune telling. What is the difference? If you understand this thing, but you don't have a confirmation in your heart, but you rely on what the prophet says, if you encounter some difficulties, you'll start to waver. If you don't have a confirmation and prompting in your own heart, next time you encounter something, you're still like a child and you need to go ask someone else. But maybe this prophet is in England. Are you going to fly to England to ask him? So each individual, from the smallest to the biggest, we will know him. This is the new covenant he made with us, the promise he gave us. Lastly, I want to share. Some people will know clearly this is the Lord's will, but they were not responsible and did not do their part in this. For example, we have a sister. She asked the Lord, where should I go intern? So she sought the Lord. She really loves the Lord. And she felt a clarity to go to a certain hospital to intern. When she went there, this hospital is willing to have her as an intern, and they sent her two big English textbooks. They asked her to translate these textbooks into Chinese, and that before her internship, she needs to deliver. So she thought, oh, I need to translate English to Chinese. It's so hard. So she kept procrastinating until the end of her internship, and she had not finished translating. And so in the hospital, they needed to visit patients. So she went to counsel the patients. She really feared asking about the financial situation of each patient. She was afraid of saying the wrong thing in her sessions. And to know all of these things about the patient, it felt so difficult for her. So she very infrequently visited the patients, and she was just in her office waiting upon the Lord. She thought, oh, this is the Lord's will. He led me here, so he will bless my work. It's so clear this is the Lord's will. So she would just hide in her office and wait on the Lord. But at the end of her internship, everyone, except for the sister, was reprimanded by the boss. It was very bad. The sister said, this thing taught her a deep lesson, that she did not, she was not responsible in her role. She thought, oh, the Lord led me here. This is part of his will, so he will bless me. No, you need to remember. just like some people, when they seek the Lord, they're clearly know the Lord wants me to marry this person. Oh, why do we always fight after we're married? Why? You know this is the Lord's will, but are you being responsible in your responsibility as a wife? You know this is the Lord's will, but have you been responsible as a husband? If you have not done your part, still when you're in the heat of your arguments, you will start to doubt, oh, is this the Lord's will? We had a brother. He said, oh, I don't really feel a nudge to go and visit people. And his leader said to him, do you have no prompting or are you lazy? You are the chairman of the fellowship. You are the leader of the small group. You are a teacher in Sunday school. It makes sense. You're supposed to go and visit people. You don't need a prompting. Just like parents, this is their job to take care of their kids. And if the Lord entrusted the small group to you or this the kids in Sunday school to you, it's your responsibility to visit them. This, no questions asked. This is your responsibility. It's not, oh, I need to seek the Lord. I'm not clear if the Lord wants me to go visit them. That even if you seek the Lord forever, you'll never get clarity. Sometimes when you're seeking the Lord, if this is something regular that you should be responsible for, maybe the Lord doesn't want you to visit a family because they're not there that day. Or if you're seeking the Lord and you feel a caution to not do something. So often in our daily lives, there are things that we need to be responsible for. We don't need to just constantly seek the Lord. Oh, should I make breakfast for my kids? Of course. Should I seek the Lord? Oh, should I go earlier to the service? Oh, I won't worry about making breakfast for my husband and kids. Then you should cook earlier. So we need to be responsible for what we need to be responsible for and to know our God. Many things are things I should just do. It's not a command or a prompting. Also, just like in Numbers chapter 8, it says these 40 years in the wilderness, you were hungry, you were thirsty. It was to try you and mold you, to test you and know if you're willing to obey the Lord's commands. The Lord wants to test you to know what's in your heart, if you're willing to obey his commands. There is a purpose to cause you to know that humans are not alive just based on what we eat, but based on the Lord's word. If we obey the Lord's will, it doesn't mean all our circumstances will be smooth. Sometimes it's often the opposite. We need to know this about the Lord. I think of Acts 16 when Paul, as soon as he obeyed the Lord's will, he went to Macedonia. He followed the Lord's call to go to Macedonia. As soon as he went, he was arrested. And then he was tortured. And he bled and he was imprisoned. When he was tortured and put in prison, this was part of the Lord's will. But later in Acts 22, at that time, Paul went to the place and he shared with the people. The whole congregation was so excited, and then the commander came and commanded someone to bring Paul in to be interrogated and to be tortured. But Paul said, should a Roman be tortured without being questioned? Is this right? And so the commander was very fearful. So when I looked at these stories, Paul is a very honest person who follows the Lord with integrity. So in chapter 16, why didn't he say he was a Roman? Then he wouldn't be tortured. I was thinking, maybe at that time, as soon as he was going to say this, maybe the Holy Spirit told him, don't say this. So he obeyed. Don't reveal your identity. He obeyed, but he was tortured until his skin broke and he was bleeding and he was arrested. Could this be the Lord's will? The Lord called me to spread the gospel. So Lord, I need to say now I am a Roman so that I can continue spreading the gospel. This is your vision to evangelize. But he was so honest in his obedience to the Lord, not thinking of his own flesh. In the end, this is because the Lord wanted him to save the prisoner's family. And I'm sure the other prisoners in the jail also came to the Lord. The Lord's will is beyond our understanding. There's some things that you think are not fair or don't make sense. In my logic, I think I should make my Roman citizenship known so that I can continue spreading the gospel. But the Lord's will was that he would be in prison so that he can save those in the prison and save the prison keeper's whole family. So we see how much the Lord loves these souls. He allows his servants whom he loves to be tortured in order to save the prison keeper's whole family. Sometimes we'll think, oh, why will these things come to the Lord's servants? We don't understand. And we'll say, oh, is it because they sinned? Or maybe they sought the Lord incorrectly. Oftentimes, these are not the case, but the Lord just has his will. He has his will. Even though we don't understand. And Paul maybe saw, oh, it's to save this whole family. But there's some things that we won't understand until we get to heaven. So when you see other people, oh, why will this thing come into their life or that thing? Don't doubt because of these things. There's some things we won't understand until we reach heaven. But each individual needs to be sincere and have integrity in our seeking of the Lord, in our obedience to the Lord. So we'll sing this song together. Every step I follow the Lord.